don't have more colors. You just have more pixels generating those colors.
Right.
And that's interesting that you bring that up, because that would be a nice segue to talk about HDR.
Don't give him too much credit. He didn't plan on that being a segue, Lane. So
we don't make mistakes. We make happy little accidents.
Okay,
here,
Bob
man.
Ross.
Hello, and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner, here with Matt Anderson. Today, Lane Munson joins us. He's Daktronics Video Products Manager. We're going to talk about industry trends in video, including HDR and 4K, and how those can be achieved using Daktronics products. And we're here with Lane today. Lane, how you doing?
Very good, guys. How you doing?
Pretty good. Matt?
I'm doing all right. Justin, thanks.
Good, good. I'm glad we're all doing well.
Very inclusive.
Sometimes he is.
He gets cranky if you don't ask him how he's doing sometimes. So today we're going to talk about HDR, 4K, video stuff. And we figured you were the right person to talk to. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and what you do at Daktronics?
So I've been at Daktronics a couple years, 31 to be exact.
Oh, that's it?
Just a couple.
That's all. but the last dozen years or so, I've been product managing our live video and advertising displays, are much more configurable display types that you see in our large arenas or large stadiums. Not only the stuff that you see while the game is going on, but if you walk out in the concourse or you go out in front of the stadium or the arena, you see all kinds of different
digital signage
used for various applications, whether it's directing people or getting them to their seats or, you know, whatever.
Ticket windows or...
Yep, all kinds of different stuff. So we've been working on that for a long time. We've really gone through a lot of generations of those types of products all over the world, as a matter of fact. Not only here in the United States, but almost in every country in the world we've sent our products to.
And I like origin stories, so Justin sometimes gives me a hard time about this. So you've been here for 31 years. What was your first position when you started at Daktronics?
I was in quality control over in the plant. Okay. I did that for 6 months, and then moved over into customer service and was an intern over there for a couple years.
Oh, another intern, Justin.
Oh, fellow intern. Glad you guys have something in common.
Yeah.
One of the originals.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I suppose, well, 31 years.
Do we dare ask what your employee number is?
Oh, it's got 4 digits.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's not a 6 or anything.
It's not a, what was Joel's when he was on here? Joel DeBoer, it was...
4?
It was... All right, so a little bit of your background, you already kind of told us here. So what type of products do we work with? So you mentioned, is it mainly just video displays that you're involved with, or is it any kind of LED display?
So myself and the product managers I work with in our division are mostly focused on high-level video displays and video displays that have a lot of capability. And we'll talk about some of that as we move along here today. But basically televisions out on the center hung or on the end walls of the stadium or arena, that's the basic level that we have.
So when you're talking about these high-level systems, there's some terms in the industry that some people are growing towards. It started as high definition that people were looking to achieve, and now I believe they're even looking at something called 4K or HDR. Is that something that's in our repertoire?
So those are obviously industry terms when you talk about video electronics or televisions or anything that either consumer-related or... more business related, like we are type of businesses that we're in. And it has to deal with the image quality that the display, whatever type it is able to produce.
Okay.
You mentioned 4K. Obviously, previous to that was HD technology, 1080p. And those are different levels of pixel resolution. By that means, what I mean is the number of light emitters that you actually have in the display itself.
Right.
Your HD technology is 1080 by 1920, and that's the physical resolution of the display, number of pixels high, number of pixels wide. 4K is 4 times that size, 4 HD level signals or size of resolution. 8K is, again, double again.
Yep. So they're just packing pixels in there, and the more pixels you have, the more colors you have to make levels of imagery?
You don't have more colors. You just have more pixels generating those colors.
Right.
And that's interesting that you bring that up, because that would be a nice segue to talk about HDR.
Don't give him too much credit. He didn't plan on that being a segue, Lane. So
we don't make mistakes. We make happy little accidents.
Yeah. Okay,
here,
Bob Ross. Yeah.
So by comparison, regardless of whether you have HD, 4K, 8K, or any pixel resolution in between, HDR refers to how well you can control each of those pixels and the color that you can generate out of each of those pixels. We talk about SDR versus HDR, standard dynamic range.
Okay. So
there's industry standards that are set out there for what that means. And that's SDR is basically what the old CRT televisions were able to produce for a color range.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the colors. The base colors are red, green, and blue. And any kind of permutation or variation between those three colors, that's what a CRT could produce. That was the best of those could produce that.
Okay.
Once you move beyond that, then you start working towards HDR. And that's another threshold that's been put out there with regards to, again, the color depth or the color space that we're able to create. Deeper blues, deeper greens, deeper reds, and, of course, the mixtures of those. And there's certain criteria that it takes to get to that point.
So I was going to say, because it's the same base colors, like you said, SDR has. It's just deeper into them, because you said blue, green, and red.
You think about the most colors you can produce are even beyond what the eye can see.
Okay.
Mind blown.
Yeah.
Yep. And there's a threshold there that is being spec'd out there called Rec. 2020 or Rec. 2100, where it's basically to the full extent of what the eye can see. The eye can see many more colors than what a camera traditionally has been able to produce.
Okay.
That's why when you look at an image, it doesn't look.
Lifelike.
If you're taking a picture or taking a camera view of an outdoor scene and you look at it, your view of that outdoor scene looks better than what's coming across through the video system, through the video production system.
Right. There's limitations within that system.
Right. As to what it can reproduce.
Reproduce. Okay.
So that's the basic premise beyond that, is trying to get closer and closer and closer to what real-life imaging looks like, the full depth of the color that is produced in nature can be reproduced through the video system.
Hmm. Okay, so in our video systems, we're going further and further to get better and better image quality for our customers. That's what we're trying to do with that HDR, but not necessarily with that 4K. 4K is about having as many pixels as possible type, or more pixels, whereas HDR is about better pixels, producing better image quality.
Right, and I think a lot of manufacturers, whether they be TV manufacturers or in our case LED display manufacturers, might get that message confused as to which is which, because you go to HD, you know, that's a resolution level. You go to UHD, that's a resolution level. And, you know, you got UHD, but you also have HDR. And so those things can get mixed up sometimes.
Right.
When the industries have put out specs before, they've kind of combined the two, and that's also created further confusion.
Okay.
As to, you know, a 4K HDR system requires two elements, right? The resolution and the color depth capability of the not only the display, with the whole system up in front of it, the whole video production system in front of it.
Right. So we've been talking about the display itself having enough pixels to reach 4K, or the display itself having the capability to produce HDR. But it's not just the screen from the LED perspective. Right. It's also, is it camera equipment and processing equipment? Or
it's the camera equipment and all the video production equipment in between.
Yep.
The camera and the display interface that actually drives the display, all of those have to be at a certain bit processing level to recreate that image at the HDR level.
Okay, so you can have an HDR capable display without producing an HDR image for your people to see.
Right, and that happens. Most people would be familiar with that when they go out and they buy an HDR ready, a 4K HDR ready television.
Okay.
But the signals that they put into that TV may not give them that look that they're wanting. Netflix might be able to broadcast in 4K and HDR, but their CBS or Fox affiliate or whatever doesn't do the same thing.
Well, it's the same thing when it went from just standard definition to high definition. I remember people would buy high definition TVs, but at the time there wasn't enough broadcast signal or other people shooting things in HD. So then when they got this brand new TV, they maybe even, I don't know, it was even different resolution. So maybe it was like scaled up or they had black bars on the sides and cut it off. But the signal has to match what the TV can or the display can produce.
Right. The whole system from the camera lens all the way to the to the television or to one of our video displays has to be able to handle that level of color depth in the case of HDR.
Right. And you brought up the home television sets. And is there that bigger difference between the LED side and the consumer product side in terms of the HDR and things?
The ability of the consumer to get the content they need. Not only does the equipment have to be able to handle that level of color depth, but the content also has to be rendered in HDR as well, you know, at that higher level in order to get the full bang for the buck. And it's harder on the consumer side to get all those things to line up, where on our side, it's a lot more confined within a stadium, let's say. You know, we can manage the content. We can manage all the equipment that leads right from the camera lens all the way through the video production equipment all the way out to our display. It's easier to get that done there.
Okay.
I'm not sure if this is an example of it, but I'm going to throw it out there and try.
Please try.
So does this tie back to the whole Game of Thrones issue from earlier this year where, you know, the fight scenes were really dark and people couldn't see the fight scene very well because maybe it wasn't transmitted as well? I have no idea if it has anything to do with HDR. But
because
their
TVs possibly were.
I remember someone trying to explain it to me.
It's actually a great example of the that particular scene, if I remember correctly, was filmed almost all at night.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The whole battle was at night, and it was difficult for standard televisions or televisions without HDR capability. And, you know, seeing that, having that content come through, they didn't get to see the nuances between the black states.
Okay.
You had dark gray and black, and, you know, black uniforms with very little reflective on it. And so it's hard to distinguish between
a color depth issue.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I just remember that because that's what made me think about when you're saying it's one thing to be able to shoot it in that way and capture all the content, but then also distributing it too. Because I think some of it was even if it was on, you know, HBO streaming, if you weren't watching it on cable stuff, then there was a whole nother level of now you're transmitting this and you may lose something every now and then when that happens.
Correct. And again, it's those pieces of equipment in the chain all have to match to have that come off.
I'm proud of you, Matt. You got a Game of Thrones reference in there that was topical. I'm proud of you. Good
Thanks.
Work.
Wow, you were really a little sketchy there at first, weren't you? You didn't think I was going to come through with it.
I had no
skeptical.
Idea where you were going.
Skeptical.
I was a little worried at what was going to come next.
Skeptical.
But you pulled it out. Good work. So we've talked about the capabilities, and like you said, it's got to be every step of that process. And from the Daktronix product side, are our products HDR capable from the video display side?
Now, the premier products that we produce, toot my own horn here for a second. The ones that I manage are all HDR ready, HDR capable, and our customers can choose to buy HDR ready displays with the intent to put the video production equipment in at a later date. Our display system will be all ready to accept that information now today, even if they don't want to spend the money on the full video production upgrade at the same time, because that obviously is a little spendy as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. So is that a industry standard to have display systems HDR ready?
It is not. It's that's something different that Daktronix provides to the industry, and we try to make sure that people understand what you're getting when you make that Daktronix choice. It is something considerably different than what you can get from our competitors in our industry. They struggle. They claim to get to HDR, and while technically they may be able to claim HDR, there's a definite difference between the quality of the image reproduction between ourselves and much of who we're competing against. They struggle to get that HDR level.
Not to see if it's giving away trade secrets, but is it all in the LEDs? Like, so we make some that aren't HDR capable, but then we do make some that are. Is it just the LED level, or I'm guessing it's a lot more complicated than that.
The requirements for HDR, not only are the LED itself, which you have to buy a certain grade of LED and pay for that difference in its ability to actually generate those deeper reds, greens, and blues. But you also have to have a certain level of intensity.
Okay.
You actually have to create that distance between its blackest black and its whitest white. You have to have a minimum amount of intensity to do that. Now, that's another advantage for LED displays is that it has no trouble. The ones that we produce have no trouble creating that distance. You need a very black and very consistently black display face to produce those black states, because you don't actually, with video systems, you don't produce black color. That's just the black state of the display.
Right.
Same with television, right? But also, in addition to that, everything in that processing chain that we keep talking about, everything has to be at a certain level. It has to be a 10-bit color processing capability. SDR is at 8-bit color processing.
Okay. Like I say, it comes at a certain cost, so it's one of those. It's not just every single display can do it, but these things go into it, and everything has a cost. So if you want a true HDR-ready display, it's going to cost a little extra, but the goal is to make sure that you have a really good picture. And I think I've seen even on some of our demo displays, right? Like sometimes we'll show the difference down the middle of the display and say, you know, on the left is SDR and the right is on HDR. Because I think some people just don't really know what the difference is going to look like, right?
Right.
I think it's actually shocking to people as they see it. I mean, even if you're not at a 4K or even an HD resolution, number of pixels is again high and wide, right? Even if you're not making those thresholds, you're creating better pixels rather than more pixels. And that's what HDR is about, is getting more out of each one of those pixels, more red, more green, more blue, to give you a wider color space.
So we're creating a better image overall. And like you said, it might cost a little more, but I think that's where the old saying comes in. You get what you pay for. If you want to have that better image quality, you might have to spend a little more to make it happen. And is that safe to say, like you said, the consumers don't have control over what the people are pumping into their television set? Is it easier on like a venue side because they have more control over what they're buying and what they're using to make that system?
It's entirely up to them.
Okay.
What they want to put on their display. And if they have a display that's HDR ready today, they can choose to go ahead and upgrade now, next year, or in 2 years. But you want to make that initial investment now, because the display that you're going to put up there from Daktronics is going to be there for 10 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to evolve with it.
We can drop that verbiage and say future-proofing.
Future-proofing, yeah. Because within the next 10 years, the idea is that it's going to also become a, I wouldn't say the norm, but if HDR is the way things are going, it's one of those.
I think people are surprised at, when they see a 4K resolution versus HDR, they will opt most often for the HDR look, mainly because a lot of them are thinking, well, I need to get to 4K because that's the next step. Even though in their particular facility, a 4K resolution may not be necessary given where their intended audience is at. Mm-hmm. However, the color depth will make a difference.
Good point. So. Yeah,
I remember it was about, I think 3 to 4 years ago, we had some of the MLB users in, and it was right when they started doing instant replay for MLB. I think it was 3 to 4 years ago, but I remember they started talking about it was the importance at the time of shooting things in 4K, but it wasn't because they had any displays or broadcasting that could take it, but it was so that they could zoom in on, you know, a foot coming into a bag and seeing if it got tagged in time, but they want to be able to zoom in on it and be able to put that on our displays and not be able to lose a whole lot of clarity so they could actually see when did things happen. But I just remember it was just a big buzzword, and they go, no, we don't need the displays at that point. But it's getting to the point now where it's all right, they've been shooting in 4K for a little bit. Now they want it to translate over, I don't know, almost pixel for pixel if they can. But like you're saying, it's a matter of size.
Yeah, with regards to the venue or wherever it's being used, whether it's a stadium or arena or in Times Square or out in Vegas, you know, it really depends on where that customer is going to be at, or the intended audience, I should say, is going to be at.
Mm-hmm. I'm also trying to think, it's similar to when, I don't know, my personal experience, but it was when I got the first HD television and you started seeing it when it was streaming in an HD feed was coming in, and you thought, man, it looks a little bit better. It's not that big a difference. And you watch nothing but that for a while. And then the first time you go back to seeing a non-HD signal, like, whoa, this is really different. I remember seeing it was HDR content a lot on our demo displays, and then they do the whole changeover and say, well, this is what it's normally been. And you went, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, you can't understand until you actually see it almost.
That's a fair statement. And you put them next to each other. For those that aren't really understanding it or aren't necessarily buying into the need for that, you know, they may not give it its full due.
Because it almost doesn't matter what size display you have. You can use Correct. HDR, whereas
yes.
it does matter the size of the display you have for 4K, because it's obviously got to matter by pixel pitch as to what size you got to get to in order to get actual 4K. But
right now, let's not totally discount 4K and what it does, you know, particularly as you get down into MPP pixel ranges.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It matters when you're that close to the displays. You want to stay away from the granularity whenever you can.
Yep.
And still get quality image as people are walking by at those very close distances. You know, a 1.5 millimeter at 4K, you know, is not that big of a display.
So you're right. able to get to it faster. So then it's a little bit different.
You have to look at the circumstances and apply what you can there. Because like you said, those narrow pixel pitches and you get a 4K resolution, or if you could even do 4K and HDR in that and make it even better.
Correct.
Justin mentioned earlier about, you know, it's almost who follows who in the industry. There's the consumer products, and then there's what we do for, you know, businesses and facilities. I wouldn't say this isn't it's more of a trend than just a buzzword at the time, because I thought about it my time at Daktronics. There's been a lot of things that have come and gone for displays, right? Can you do, the virtual reality glasses?
Like, yep, or
the
VR.
Can you do VR things with it, or can you do just even 3D for a while, right? Like, I remember—
Correct. 3D has been here and gone a few times.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
And each time it comes back around, it's a little better, but it's annoying. if you don't have the glasses on it, it doesn't work. Yep. We've tried it before in stadiums. You can actually make people sick.
Yep,
looking at it.
That's me. I get motion sick.
It
very
reminds
easy.
Me of like a novelty experience from the 80s with the blue and the red glasses and things like that. And it's kind of cool every time it comes back up for a little while. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen it stick.
But it's also very position specific. You got to be right in front of the display. It's not something you can't be off to the side looking at it. It doesn't work very well that way.
Which in sports isn't usually the case.
Yeah. That,
right.
No. Yep. And if you want 3D, you can actually look at the court or look at the field.
Oh.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah.
That's,
oh, yeah.
Is that called like native 3 definition?
Yeah. But I mean, like, this is something, though, when you hear buzzwords, I guess, because we always get asked, can your display do this or do that? But when it comes to 4K and HDR, these aren't just passerby random buzzwords. Like, these are things that the industry is actually going towards, right?
Neither one of these are going to go away. Both provide enhancements to the image quality in their ability to reproduce those images.
Okay.
Both are here to stay.
So,
and
yeah.
to improve.
Think of that like the HD, when the first display went HD in what, 2006 was it? Like Miami Dolphins 2006, the first HD installation we did at Daktronics. That's been a while ago. And that's been around for a long time, and now they're just improving upon it. So who knows, maybe in 10-13 years, we'll be talking about something better than HDR.
Yeah, because it's, and I mean, it comes down to matching. We talked about how hard it is for consumer products to be able to do this because of all the shooting, distribution, and all that. But it's, once that starts becoming the norm, then that makes it more important for sporting venues, because they're always trying to fight with getting people out of the living room and into the,
right.
into their seats in their stadium or arena. So when that does even become norm, now everything's transmitted really good in HDR, and all this, and they have a 4K HDR display in their home, and they go to a stadium and watch an event in person, there's some kind of expectation as to the displays
they will
that they
expect
look at.
That image will look as good on a giant screen as what they can get at home.
Right. I didn't make your head explode with saying something better than HDR down the road, did I?
No, I was going to come back to that, actually.
Yeah.
We talked about where we come from with regards to SDR,
mm-hmm.
now to HDR,
right.
and we get out to that the ultimate, and like I was talking about this Rec 20 or Rec 2100, Rec 2020 or Rec 2100, and that's trying to get to the full capability of what the eye can see with regards to color space and color rendition. We aren't there yet from a reproduction standpoint. No company has gotten there, not even the Samsungs or the Sonys or anybody like that have gotten to that point where they produce the full color spectrum that the eye can see. That is the next threshold.
Okay.
If you had to look at that, the amount of colors that the eye can see and what HDR is capable of showing, like what percentage is that? Like 70% of the full capabilities that I can see, or is it?
On the chart that's most notably shown throughout, it's probably 50 to 60%
of
the HDR level.
Okay.
Daktronics actually goes beyond that. It's called a DCI P3 level. It's actually a movie theater or movie industry threshold that they put out there. Sony and Samsung have adopted it. Others have adopted it. And that's that general threshold that everybody works towards. And that's the threshold that I was talking about that other manufacturers don't quite get to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Daktronics exceeds that by quite a ways.
Oh, really?
Correct. On our way to that Rec 2020 line.
So Rec 2020 is the full?
Yes.
Okay.
And what was that other acronym you threw out that's kind of the standard that everybody's accepted?
DCI P3.
Okay. Matt said, oh, right, as if he completely understood. I just wanted to call him out on that really quick.
I can't believe that's the first time you've ever heard that, Justin.
It's actually not, but we'll be sharing that graph that Lane was talking about in the show notes. That's why I have heard of it.
We said there's Rec 2020. Did you say there's another Rec, or is that the only one?
They kind of classify it as the same thing. And basically, there are some nuances, there are some differences between the two, but it's generally the full scope of the color range that the eye can see.
So the color reproduction is what people are going for. There's also the size that they're going for to improve that image quality. And that's kind of where we're headed from a video display perspective.
Well, I want to be careful when we say size. Obviously, there's a physical size of the displays, and everybody like bigger and bigger and bigger, and whatever our physical limitations are with that. I always remind people that, man, you can have a 4K display, 4K resolution display, that's 1.5 millimeters, but you're not going to put that generally in your center hung because it's going to be the size of a display that you might have in a boardroom.
Okay.
On the center hung. You still have your display still have to create a presence in the venue.
Right.
And create a little awe, if you will. That's why you see a different pitch at 4K. Let's say it's 3.9 millimeter at 4K resolution in your center hung. It creates a big enough size, but of course, that's a bigger display.
Right.
Weighs more. What's the limitations of the facility? You have to keep an eye on those things. So they all kind of have to work together. The right fit for the venue.
Okay, so we'll be careful when generalizing too far of what we're headed towards. There's a lot of nuance that goes into it is what I'm hearing.
A year from now or two years from now, I guarantee you we're going to be talking about a 1.9 in somebody's center hung.
An 8K is what they
I mean, we're really not that far, 2.5 to
weight limitations and the real need to do it.
Yeah.
To go from 4K to 8K is a huge step.
Jump.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Munson, is it fair to say that you've seen an uptick in the amount of customers that are asking for displays this? And if so, is it 4K and HDR, or are you seeing more of one versus the other?
First of all, I'm not so sure about the whole Mr. Munson thing.
Did I catch you off guard? I just dropped that in the middle of the podcast.
That was a little formal.
It was just a touch.
All right, Lane.
What was the question?
Have you seen more customers asking for HDR versus 4K, or are they both up there quite a bit?
In the last 2 years, we've seen a significant uptick in customers inquiring about HDR. Can they have their product put in HDR ready? A significant number, I don't want to throw a percentage at it, but a significant number are going that route in anticipation of their upgrade of their front-end video equipment.
How about 4K then? Or has that just always been around the same kind of?
4K we can get to if the venue
can handle
the size that goes along with it, or we change pitches to get the size right in the facility. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's an uptick in cost in doing that, so they have to decide which they find to be more important.
They can do both, but they don't necessarily have to have them both combined in order to get
it. It could be one, the other, or both.
Yep.
It just depends what image quality you're going for, what your application is.
I would venture to say that if they have the capability to get to 4K physically in the size or in their venue, they'll go with HDR as well.
Oh, okay.
Going all out.
Yeah, yes. I mean, why not? If you can get 4K and HDR.
It's the best of both worlds, right?
Correct.
It's like he knew exactly what I was going to say.
Oh, you were going to say that?
Maybe. Don't want to give you too much credit over there, Matt.
I think it's the best of both worlds.
We'll put Mr. Munson.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Well, I want to thank Lane for joining us today because I was going to say I feel like I've learned a lot, but I feel like Matt's learned even more. So I think this has been a great experience.
It's a fair assessment.
I feel a little dumber. I'm kidding, guys. I'm kidding.
I was going to say we'll just apologize for that right now. But but thank you for coming on and sharing some information about HDR, 4K, and our display capabilities.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lane.
Thank you for listening to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. For more information, visit www.daktronics.com.